Late one afternoon, a buddy and I returned to the gun pit in the fading light. We passed a shallow defilade we hadn't noticed previously. In it were three Marine dead. They were lying on stretchers where they had died before their comrades had been forced to withdraw some time earlier. I usually avoided confronting such pitiful remains. I never could bear the sight of American dead neglected on the battlefield. In contrast, the sight of Japanese corpses bothered me little, aside from the stench and the flies they nourished. As we moved past the defilade, my buddy groaned. Jesus! I took a quick glance into the depression and recoiled in revulsion and pity at what I saw. The bodies were badly decomposed and nearly blackened by exposure. This was to be expected of the dead in the tropics. But these Marines had been mutilated hideously by the enemy. One man had been decapitated. His head lay on his chest. His hands had been severed from his wrists and also lay on his chest near his chin. In disbelief, I stared at the face as I realized that the Japanese had cut off the dead Marine's penis and stuffed it into his mouth. The corpse next to him had been treated similarly. The third had been butchered, chopped up like a carcass torn by some predatory animal. My emotions solidified into rage and a hatred for the Japanese beyond anything I ever had experienced. From that moment on, I never felt the least pity or compassion for them, no matter what the circumstances. My comrades would field strip their packs and pockets for souvenirs and take gold teeth. But I never saw a Marine commit the kind of barbaric mutilation the Japanese committed if they had access to our dead. When we got back to the gun pit, my buddy said, "Sledgehammer, did you see what the Nips did to them bodies? Did you see what them poor guys had in their mouths?" I nodded as he continued. "Christ, I hate them slant-eyed bastards." "Me too. They're mean as hell," was all I could say. Victory at High Cost. 12 October continued to be an eventful day for us on Hill 140. Following Captain Haldane's death in the morning, we set up our mortars below and behind a 75mm pack howitzer, tied down within Company K's lines. We were to fire our usual support for the company, but we also were to provide covering fire for the artillery piece. Johnny Marmot was observing for us through a crack in the coral rock up near the howitzer when he suddenly called down to us that he saw some Japanese officers just outside the mouth of a cave. Apparently confident they were sheltered from American fire, they were just sitting down to eat at a table on a ledge beneath a thatched canopy. Johnny called the range to us and the order to fire 5 rounds. Snafu sighted in on the proper aiming stake, repeated Johnny's range, and yelled, "Fire one!" I grabbed a shell, repeated the range and charge, pulled off the proper number of powder increments from between the tail fins, put my right thumb over the safety pin, pulled the safety wire, and dropped the shell into the muzzle. Snafu realigned the sight after the recoil, grabbed the bipod feet, and yelled, "Fire two!" I prepared the second shell and dropped it into the tube. It went smoothly, and we got all the rounds off in short order. We listened tensely for them to explode on target. My heart pounded away the seconds. It was a rare occasion to get Japanese officers bunched up, and rarer indeed on Peleliu for them to expose themselves.